وصحبه الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على
محمد.
أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله
وبركاته.
All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe. The one who gave us existence, that if he had not, we would have never known neither his love or mercy or generosity. Out of all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, we are obliged as a creation of his, as a human being, as a person who would thank the creation that we become a someone that will spend the rest of their lives in trying to become that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us on this earth for. So the ultimate thing that a creation can do is to become or have that purpose or to have that destination or to become what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for us. In that process, every single step that the person would take would be considered as worship. And for that worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that if anyone struggles in my way, that I am the one who is mashkool, that I am the one who will give thanks to that particular individual. What we have been talking about for the last 2 days is the topic of shukr. There are many different things that we can talk about, but today, inshallah, we'll try to sum it up. And our purpose to initiate this discussion was that the ones who have participated come out of this room after the 3 hours of listening to me, of having at least the motive or intention to become more thankful of the blessings that Allah SWT has bestowed upon them. Because if you think about it, we are the most unthankful creation of Allah. Every other creation of Allah is doing tasbih of Him. They know their prayers, they're doing their prayers. They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are in submission. They are praying for humanity. They pray for the individual who goes to seek knowledge. The angels, they spread their wings for a person who goes to learn knowledge. Shaykh Thani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and increase his levels in heaven. One of the greatest scholars that ever existed, when he would go out of his house towards the place of his learning, he would go barefoot. He would not wear shoes, he would have bare feet. He would go barefooted. And he was asked, like, why do you do that? He said that I've heard from the Prophet that when a person who wants to seek knowledge goes towards the place of knowledge, that angels, they spread their wings. And I do not wish to put my shoes on top of the wings of those angels. That him in his conviction that the Prophet has said, either he could see the angels' wings spread as he walked, or he was convinced that what the Prophet has said actually happened. So those individuals who recognize the blessing of ilm, of knowledge, of the benefits of knowledge, of the greatness of knowledge to acquire it, they became the closest beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people like us, or me in particular, who take everything for granted. If you were to go home and make a list of the things that you have taken for granted, these breaths that I'm taking, I've taken them for granted, that as if I don't even recognize that I'm breathing. So every breath that I'm taking is actually a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that breath that went inside, it did not come out, I would die. Yet I do that 24/7, and not once in my day, or for some people would be in their life, Have you ever asked, have you ever said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank you very much for me to be able to take this air that you have created to go inside and come out? Which is your lifeline, which is a blessing that you utilize the most. Out of all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, the oxygen is the one that we utilize the most. And this is the blessing that we are the least concerned about. Unless and until a person gets asthma, and you see them breathing, how they are struggling to breathe. Or that you get a cold and you know just that one breath would be so nice if your nose were open, was open and you could actually just breathe. And you recognize how big of a blessing it was. One of the benefits of recognizing blessings is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take them away from you. If we do not recognize His blessing, we do not thank Him, then what He will do, He will take that blessing away from you on the condition if He loves you. Only if He loves you. If He does not love you, He will have you in that state till you die. So that you get out of that world in a state of being unthankful, not being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being appreciative, not in the state of worship, that you come out with regrets and sorrows on the day of judgment with nothing but embarrassment in front of the whole of humanity. But if He loves a person, He will take that blessing away so that once this blessing is taken away, the person will recognize how big of that blessing was so that they can change themselves to make sure that they are going to be in the state of thanks so that that blessing is not taken away from them. If the blessing is taken away, it is also a blessing in disguise. They say that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He loves someone, He will put them in a state of so many difficulties just so that after 40 years of difficulties, they could come to one point and just say, Ya Allah. That He breaks them to the point where they are cut off from everything, where they are disappointed from everyone, where they are in a state which is wretched. And this wretched state, they feel themselves that the only being that can call, that they can call upon is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they say, Ya Allah. That is only if He loves us. As far as I'm concerned, I know He doesn't love me too much because I am. He has immersed me in His blessings to the point where I know that there are blessings that are all around me and I'm not being thankful of it, and He's not taking those blessings away from me. So I know that my state is such that I am in ghaflat. Ghaflat, ghaflat, whichever one you want to. You understand ghaflat? No? Ghafil, heedless, unaware, away from reality, sleeping, unconscious, not attentive. A person who is fooling themselves. All of these things can come in the context of ghafil. The ultimate demise of humanity is because of their ghaflat. The biggest disease that a person has is ghaflat. Where a person gets into that state where they are aware of everything else. They're aware that they're sitting on a carpet. They're aware that there is light around them. They're aware that somebody is in front of them. They're aware that they are breathing maybe even. They're aware that they're nodding. They're aware that they're trying to listen. They're aware that they're looking, but they're not aware that they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because they're not aware that they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore everything that they do out of unawareness. Because, you see, if you are in a room and a small child or something or is standing there, you are not ever going to do certain things that you would do if you were in a room by yourself. You look at that child and say, no, because this child is looking at me, I'm not going to act in a manner which is improper. And he also says that, you know, you take me less than of that child when you know that I am around you, I am listening to you, I'm watching you. Yet without being aware of that fact, or if you are aware of it, then what could be a bigger oppression? What could be a bigger zulm that knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching and hearing, a person stands up and does a sin, commits an atrocity? Unaware, okay. But knowing that he's seeing, knowing that he's watching, and look in return how he treats us. He treats us in a manner that we think that he has not created anyone but us. No? When you are on the musalla, when you are doing dua, you have in your mind that there are 7 billion people who also, one way or the other, praying to him. When you go, you know, you have something to do, you stand in line, there are like 15 people, 20 people, right? You go to a bank, you go somewhere where you need something, you need to talk to someone, you need to get something. Now let's say you go to the line and there are 50 people standing before you. Right? You would know that this company has at least 50 customers. True? And you happen to know that you are also a customer, you are expecting them to treat you like you are the only customer. True or not? Like the telecommunication company is one of the companies that I used to work for, I'm not going to say its name, whom Alhamdulillah fired me. They have 4 million customers across Canada. And the 4 million customers, when I used to work, whenever somebody would call, they happen to be, let's say, you know, 4 million, like, I don't know, like, let's just put it, 124 customers, or 124,000 customers. And they would call in, and they would expect me, who is receiving the call, to treat them in a manner that there is nobody else. There is a customer of that company other than that person. And if I treated them that way, they would be, you know, thank you very much. If I did not treat them that way, they would be, I'm going to finish it. I'm breaking my ties with you. I am going to finish my account. And no longer will I have this company. And then they expect me to say, please, no, stay. When in reality there's 4 million, okay, if you're 128,000, if you go, there's 10 coming. But they're expecting, no, that I would tell them, please don't go. You are important to us. When we are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is exactly how we feel. Although He has created 280 billion galaxies with trillions of planets and stars, and for every single thing that He has created, He is the one sustaining them. Yet we expect Him to deal with us as if we are the only creation on the face of this earth. We expect Him to give us everything that He has in His power and knowledge and wisdom and mercy and all of the maqamat and the darajat that the awliya of Allah have received. We should be able to receive it. And if we don't receive it, we're going to complain about it on the Day of Judgment. And the beauty of Allah is that He does treat us that way. But how do we treat Him? When it comes to us, we think that everything else is gone but Allah. That we will put our heads down, we will bow down, we will submit, we will understand, we will accept, we will do as everybody else is saying, and keep them happy. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the least of our worries. खुदा तो खुश हो ही जाएगा, बस लोग खुश हो जाए, मेरे से लोग खुश हो जाए, अल्लाह तो खुश हो ही जाएगा। वो तो सही और गदा है, He becomes pleased very easily, तो वो तो खुश हो ही जाएगा, मुझे कुछ नहीं करना है। I don't have to do anything. Just he's going to be happy with you. Why does a person get into this state? It's because they are taking the blessings of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala for granted. Why do we get upset in our lives? Why do we get stressed and depressed? Because we are taking His blessings for granted. Why is it told to us to look at a person who is below you so that you do not get stressed and depressed because what you think that you have lost, someone else has lost more? There are individuals in this world that do not have one meal to eat. Yet you waste food. If you look at the conditions that people are in Afghanistan, those refugees who have lost everything. If you look at those documentaries, that there are 8 kids and all they have to eat is some dried up bread and tea. And they don't even have a roof as such. But if it rains, it rains on their heads. And if something happens for us a little bit, our income goes up and down, or something happens, you know, we cry and we scream and shout. Why are we not able to have the pleasure that exists in worship of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala? Have you ever asked? I've been asked this question many times. Maulana, kya kare hum? Ki namaz ke andar hamara huzoor khush ho jaye. Itne pyar se poochte hain ke, you know, people ask, oh, what can we do? They're asking as if, you know, they are in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have to force themselves to pay attention and concentrate and to be in the condition of humility. Mera dil chah raha hai unse kahun ki agar aap khuda se pyar karte hain to us pyar ke izhar namaz mein aap khud ko khud karte hain. आपको कोई कोशिश करने की जरूरत नहीं थी, आपको कोई मेडिटेशन करने की जरूरत नहीं थी, आपको कोई तर्जमे के ऊपर तवज्जो करने की जरूरत नहीं थी, आपको इन तमाम की तमाम चीजों की जरूरत नहीं थी. भाई जिससे तुम्हें प्यार है उसके साथ मुलाकात है. इस मजनू एंड लैला, यू नो, एवरीबॉडी हैज हर्ड देयर स्टोरीज. मजनू फाइंड्स आउट दैट लैला हैज डाइड. So he comes to the city, but he does not know where the grave is. So there is a child and says, can you tell me where Lala's grave is? And he said that you are claiming to be Majnun. If you were Majnun, then you would know where Lala's grave is. So you go and go, you don't lie, you're not Majnun. Go and get Majnun. Because if Majnun is there, we'll find the grave of Laila. He said, how? He said, all Majnun will have to do is smell the dirt, and through whichever dirt the fragrance of love is coming would know that that is the grave of Laila. It is something that's inside. It's not a matter of ilm-e hasooli ki baat nahi ho rahi. It's not. Knowledge is of two types. One is ilm-e hazuri and one is ilm-e hasuli. Ilm-e hasuli is something that you can learn. You can ask the question to the Maulana, Maulana, how can we learn to have concentration in namaz? Maulana, how can we become more thankful? Maulana, how can we ask for forgiveness? Maulana, how can we do our obligations and refrain from doing haram acts? Maulana, how can we do this? And Maulana can teach you. How can I become an IT professional? You can go to the college or university and acquire that knowledge. All of that is ilm-e hasuli. Anyone can acquire it. Can you teach someone to love? Love is inside. You cannot teach someone to love. You can only direct the direction of their love. Love is part of ilm-e huzuri, which is not something which can be acquired. So is thanks. Thanks is part of your fitrat, your nature. Either you are thankful or what? You're not. If you want to become thankful, there are ways that I have mentioned some of them. But in reality, if you are the type of a person who does not thank individuals, you will not thank Allah. If you are a type of an individual who has made themselves, or they are such that they take everything for granted, you will not take the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as important. How many times have we thanked a wife who has brought us a glass of water to say thank you very much? How many times we have thanked her for cooking? How many times we have thanked our husband for them to come home and bring that paycheck which is going to run your household? How many times we have thanked our kids for listening to us? We are always scolding them for what they don't listen to us, but how many times have we thanked them for them listening to us? The way that we have been living our life is all through being unthankful. And now if you think that by listening to 3 hours of someone speaking to you that out of a sudden you're going to become thankful, that's not going to happen. I'll tell you what are the restrictions, why are we not being thankful, and if you remove those hurdles, you will automatically become thankful. Because that is inside of you. So, shukr kya ho gaya hai? Masalan shukr ko agar aap is tarah se karne ke, shukr is like a treasure, which is inside of everybody. What is on top is dirt. How much dirt depends on everybody. What do you have to do to get to that treasure? You will have to remove the dirt. Once you remove it, what will happen? You will find the treasure automatically. Right. What is this dirt? This dirt is your ghaflat. This dirt is your sins. Because every sin committed is that you are being unthankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that He has bestowed upon you. What else is this restriction? That there are so many blessings that we are bombarded by that we do not have the time to actually count each blessing that has been given to us. Before I can say thank you for the fact that I can breathe, the next breath I take. This is one of those restrictions that you cannot ever remove. Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In Munajat-e-Khamsa-Ashar, that if you guys want, in Munajat-e-Shakirin, he mentions that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he says, no one is able to thank you in a manner that they should thank you, because every single moment that you try to recognize one blessing, there's a bombardment of thousands and thousands of blessings that they come to you and you do not know which blessing to thank you for. This is also a restriction, but that restriction for everybody. The other is, do not look at, we look at acts that happen to us because of other people. We think that there is somebody who has the power to give us harm. Is there anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can, if He wants, that harm to reach me? If, for example, if somebody was to come into my house and steal everything and do some harm to me, is that person done without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He hasn't done that without the permission of Allah. Allah's permission is there, but this permission now happens to deal in the queen of things. The way that Allah has created this universe, in that creation He has given humanity the power of choice for them to be able to utilize that to either to do good or to do bad. But everybody has been given that choice. If they are using that choice, that is because of the permission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. If I start looking at every single action as from Allah, whether it is relative to me as good or bad, then in any condition that I am in, I am looking at it as an act of God. And because I'm looking at it as an act of God, and because He is the one that I love, Then I do not look at difficulty as a difficulty, but I look at it as a gift. There are traditions that say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, He sends them these difficulties as a person who has gone away from home sends gifts to the people who are there, so that once they receive that gift, they can what? Remember that person. Yeah? Jaise abhi main idhar aaya hu na, main apne ghar walon ko ek tohfa bheju. I send them like for example flowers or something. Aur jab unko tohfa mile, unko phir meri yaad aaye. He has remembered us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends those difficulties to the individual that manner that they think of that as a gift, and once they receive it, they say, Ya Allah. And that was the condition of the people that were in Karbala. Their sacrifice was actually a manner or a method to show that everything belonged to Allah. They recognize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even if they had to go through all that they had, if they were to sacrifice every single thing in their life towards for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it was not enough of a thank you. We are not in that state. When it comes to sacrifice, what do? Wasn't they say, okay, please, because they announced for the protest, we can talk, please come to the protest. Okay. And there have been many different protests and we've gone and therefore, or like we don't have enough money or don't have time like because of job. Because what is the point of it? There's no results when they come, the shares are still going to be killed. So, we're not going to go. And we're content about it. Don't even feel a little bit guilty that we should have gone. Because in our minds, we are doing the right thing. What if you could imagine that that particular part, that particular protest or any protest is something where you are going to go and you're going to sacrifice whatever that you can or you have to be able to go there and to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is an expression of your thanksgiving.
SubhanAllah.
That the voice that you have given to me, that voice you have given to me so that I can put the voice against oppression, I am going there to put that voice against the oppression so that I can thank you for this. The tongue that you have given, the vocal cords that you have given me money, and out of that money I have taken out, although I could not afford, but I have sacrificed that particular amount of money for me to travel and to get there. Therefore, I am being thankful to you for the blessing that you have given to me, which is money. Because I have spent it in your way, and I have spent it because I was in a state where I could not afford, but I afforded. On a sign, I saw something which was quite amazing. It was a church sign. Give to God what is right and not what is left.
SubhanAllah. Right?
It's amazing how some of these quotes work out. Give to God what is right, not what is left. And this is exactly what we do. Whatever is left, jo change bachi hui hai, sadka nikalte kya karte hain? Agar 25 cent hai, 25 cent hai, 10 cent hai, $1, agar 100 nikal aaye, agar jeb mein se 100 nikal aaye, to kya karenge? वो जेब में वापस रखना, फिर देखेंगे कि अगर कोई और $2 निकला है ये ठीक है, $2 निकला है वो बांट दिए और बांटने के बाद क्या कहा, खुदा ये $2 मैं तेरी राह में खर्च करती हूँ ताकि मेरे बाल बच्चे, मेरा घर, मेरी गाड़ी, मेरी जान, मेरे बच्चों की सेहत और the khalas and the uncles and the pupos and everybody else. For what? Because they have given $2 in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What a sorry state that is. Give to God what is right and not what is left. Until and unless we become thankful in this particular manner and we were to spend the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way, He will increase our blessings. There are many different stories that you would, you know, people have. There are individuals who ye jo radio nahi lagate would carts, like you have here too maybe. There are carts that people have and then they earn some livelihood from it. Right? Like the hot dog carts or something like that, you've seen it. In back home they have carts, but these carts are very old fashioned, you know, it's made of wood and so forth. It's not like fancy as it is here. There are individuals who jinki radio hai, un radio se Imam Hussain Sahab Hussain ki azaa karte hain, 10 din khana khilate hain, uske alawa acche acche ulama ko bulate hain aur log unse poochte hain ye kaise hota hai. एक रेडी लगाने वाला वो एक्सपेक्ट नहीं कर रहे होते कि वो इतना ज्यादा पैसा इमाम हुसैन सलाम के नाम पे खर्च कर सकता है. मुझे नहीं पता था कैसे होता है, लेकिन अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह हर साल होता है. अल्लाह सुब्हान तआला, यस ऑफ कोर्स ही डज नॉट लुक एट व्हाट यू गिव, देन ही लुक्स एट योर हार्ट, बट आल्सो लुक्स एट दैट हार्ट दैट सेज द रीजन व्हाई आई एम गिविंग यू दिस $2 इज बिकॉज आई एम अटैच्ड टू मनी. Or the reason why I'm only giving the $2 for you is because I do not have enough reliance on you that you will provide for me. Because I feel that I am myself something that if I was to be something, I'll be able to protect myself from the harms that my family would have to bear. Yes, of course, he does not see what is inside of your hand. He does look at your heart, and we should also look at our heart, why we are not sacrificing what we have for the sake of Allah. When everything that we have is whose? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Karbala, and Kufa, and Sham, that is one of the biggest lessons that was taught by Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Bibi Zainab Ramnaneha, and the daughters of the Prophet, which we have forgotten. Therefore, we have become the people who will give to God what is left and not what is right. And then we expect that our blessings should increase. You cannot get anything without sacrifice. You know how easy it is that we can go for zakat and just take 5 or 10 minutes and then... How easy it is for us to be able to go for ziyarat. How easy it is for us to be able to go for hajj. You know how easy it is? It is so easy that I'm amazed it's called pilgrimage. It should be called maybe vacation. Or time out. Or tafree. So, pilgrimage is always associated with sacrifice and pain. Anytime you take sacrifice and pain and you put in comfort and relaxation and facilities, it's not called pilgrimage. It is called vacation. And we are so used to it that even in that pilgrimage, so-called pilgrimage or vacation, if a little bit of harm comes to us, bas late aaye, kisi ne hamare samaan ko nahi uthaya, khane mein namak zyada tha, jis hotel mein rahe wahan pe safai nahi thi, कोई भी अगर इस तरह का मसला हो जाता है, we are up in arms that why is this happened or why is that happened? It Is that giving to God what is right? If we have gone for the ziyarah of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have gone for the ziyarah to Bibi Zainab Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why don't you remember the difficulties of Imam Hussain? Why don't you remember the difficulties of Bibi Zainab? If we go to Makkah, why don't we remember the difficulties of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife and his son? Why do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to go there and sit down in the desert and not do anything? Why does He tell you, run from here and go from there and run back? He's teaching you submission. They submit without complaint. अगर मैं आपसे कह दूं कि आप इस जगह पे बस बैठे हैं दो घंटे क्या करेंगे, कोई तकरीर नहीं सुननी, कुछ नहीं सुनना, क्या करना है, कुछ नहीं करना है, बस बैठे रहे. What are you going to say? What's the point? Why are you telling me to just sit down there? What's the point to it? There's no point, just sit down there. I'm telling you to sit down there. No, you have to tell me what is the point first. Aaj mein kya hota hai, udhar jaake baith jao, sari raat guzar do, kya karna hai, kuch nahi karna, baith jao. Is to teach us submission without complaint. As soon as we become complacent, we start taking the blessings for granted. And as soon as we start taking the blessings for granted, we become in a state of heedlessness. When we become in the state of heedlessness, we do not have the pleasure of worship. We do not have the ability to sacrifice. We do not have the ability to give to right, to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is His right. But we are only asking Him what is our right. Do you know who were those people? At the time of Imam Hussain, those were the people that lived in Kufa. Those were the people who were in Medina when they know that Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is going and they do not wish to come with him. Imam Zahrin, you're going to be killed. So what? It is his life, he can take it. But a person like myself will not accept humility. I had been a zillah. Will not accept humility. A state of living your life in shame, death of honor is better. Right? How are we living? How shameful it is to know that your Muslim sister was killed. Why do we not consider her as our sister? Kaniz Fatima, who was killed in Pakistan, that couple. Why do we not? If it was really my blood sister and she was killed, would I not feel it? We would feel it, right? The reason why I don't feel it is because I don't think that there is a connection. Because I don't think there is a connection. If there was a connection, that is Islam. If my connection with Islam was strong, then because of that connection that I have with Kaniz Fatima, I would have felt as if not just my blood sister, but more than that is God. The more that we are enjoying the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed in living in the West, the more complacent we are becoming, and the more we are becoming of people who are seeking comfort. And the more that we become of people that are seeking comforts, the less of brave we are becoming and more of submissive we are becoming. And if we continue in that particular way, guess what? The Hussain of time is watching us and is going to come. And if the Hussain of time comes and we are in this state, if he was to call, what would happen? मैं तो बस CNN पे देख लूँगा कि इमाम आ गए हैं. CNN लगा लेंगे, देख लेंगे कि इमाम आ गए हैं. इमाम जी क्या आप अपना करें काम, जब मुझे छुट्टी मिलेगी काम से, मेरे लिए सारे वसाइल हो जाएंगे, फिर मैं आपको आके दरबार करूँगा. आप वहां से शुरू करें ना जहां पर आप हैं, मैं तो भी बहुत दूर हूं, आप शुरू करें, मैं आ रहा हूं। Every opportunity that we get to put a voice against oppression, every opportunity we get to sacrifice, every opportunity that we get to show our bravery, every opportunity that we get to be in the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the training grounds for the coming of the 12th Imam. And if we are failing in those tests, then I can say for surety for myself, I will not be saying labbaik to my Imam when he comes. Because why? Because when it was the most difficult for me to show up and to do my religious duty, I stayed home. When it was the most difficult to say thank you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of all of the difficulties that I had, I complained. We do not consider that these things are interrelated or interwoven. They are. What would be the difference is that we would know that Imam is there. Imam is not in hiding, right? Who is in hiding? I'm the one in hiding. What is shukr? What do we say shukr means? To make apparent. Kufr means? To hide and conceal. Who is concealed? It is me. It is me. Once I become shakir, I will become apparent. When I become apparent to myself, I will see the Imam of my time. He walks among us. He helps us. He sees us. He knows what we have done during that week. He gets his report. Complaints, fighting, bickering, no sacrifice, no thank you, taking things for granted, showing cowardice, living a life of no honor, no sense of community, having to do whatever my heart desires but just put the curtain of religion, just taking religion because it was the religion of my forefathers, not knowing what it is. And the list goes on. Why are we like this? We are in a state of ghaflat. We need to wake up. Karbala was a wake-up call. Every year it is a wake-up call for us. Kufa is a wake-up call. Sham is a wake-up call. When you cry for Imam Hussain Sattu is a wake-up call. When you cry on the musiba of Bibi Zainab Ramalaha is a wake-up call. When you hear all of the difficulties that they went through and you say in the Arifi Ashura, in the Sajda, that Allahumma lakal hamdu, Allahumma lakal hamdu, hamda, Allahumma lakal hamdu, laka hamda shakirina lak. When you say that, you should know that those people who have been thankful in all of the difficulties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, it is praise to Allah. And we have no right to be complacent, we have no right to be unthankful, we have no right to take blessings for granted, we have no right to become in a state that we are in, because if anybody should not have put a voice against oppression was that daughter of the Prophet whose hands were tied and his whole family was massacred. And if anybody could have given the excuse, did not give the excuse, did not complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was brought in places where you would never want your mother or daughter or sister to go. She was brought in those castles that were filled with individuals that you would never want your mothers and sisters and daughters to be in the presence of those individuals for them to look at them. Do you know how difficult it becomes if someone has a drop of blood of Imam Hussain in their veins? that although I would consider that maybe I'm not a Sayyid, maybe it's a lie, maybe my parents told me that it is not such, but if it is, I live in a time when people expect me to sit down and tell you what has happened to my family. To tell you how Imam Sajjadah Rasulullah felt when he saw that Bibi Zainab had no chadar at that time and she was asking permission to get out of that burning tent. Ya mar jaye zinda ya khaymo se nikal jaye. Bibi Zainab ne Imam Sajjad ki jaan bachayi. Bimar the, khud se uth nahi sakte the. Bibi Zainab ne Imam Sajjad ko khaymo jalte hue khaymo se nikala. Imagine kar sakte hain क्या हालत थी इन आदा ने जब बीबियों को इनके हाथों में रस्सी बांधी थी they tied up the hands of the daughters of the prophet they put them on camels that had no saddles on purpose they put Imam Sajjad on a camel that had no saddle but Imam Sajjad was so weak and sick that he would have fallen क्या किया था इमाम सज्जाद के टांगों को बांध दिया था उनके स्टमक से एक रस्सी लेकर दोनों टांगों को बांध दिया था ताकि ये खुद से गिरे ना जब इस काफले को मैदाने गड़बड़ा के पास लेकर आए तो सब बीबियों ने जैसे शोहदा की लाशों को देखा है तो अपने आप को ऊंटों से गिराया है जब इंसान गिरता है तो पहले वो अपने हाथों से when a person falls it is with their hands that they protect their face and the rest of their body you cannot imagine how Bibi Zainab felt when her hands were tied and she fell from the camel that she was on इमाम सज्जाद अपने आप को गिराना चाहते थे नहीं गिर सकते बीबियों ने जाके शोहदा की लाशों पर गिरिया किया इमाम सज्जाद दूर से देखते रहे अपने पापा की लाश को दूर से देखते रहे बीबी जैनब ने देखा कि सज्जाद का चेहरा दर्द हो गया है कहीं ऐसा ना हो कि सज्जाद चला जाए इस दुनिया से मेरे पास आके कहती मेरे बेटे क्या हुआ आपको आपको भी हिम्मत करनी है तो हम सज्जाद कहते हैं कि मैं किस तरह से हिम्मत करूं आए आप देख नहीं रही कि मेरे पापा का लाशा घोड़ों के सुमो से कुचला हुआ घोड़ों का फन जो है वो मैदान में पड़ा है बीबी ने तसल्ली दी कहते मेरे बेटे तुम फिक्र ना करो कि यहाँ पे वो लोग आएंगे जो आके इन कब्रों पर रोएंगे यहाँ पे आके गिरिया करेंगे अरबाइन पे 25 मिलियन बंदा उन कब्रों पे जाके रोता है जो मुझे तारीख के इस वाक्य के अंदर अजीब चीज लगती है कि इमाम जैनुलाबदीन को उन लोगों के आने की ढारस हुई उनको बीबी की इस जुमले से आस लगी इत्मीनान पहुंचा उनके अंदर ताकत पैदा हुई क्यों पैदा हुई कि वो आएंगे वो गिरिया करेंगे मेरे बाबा की कब्र पर वो आएंगे गिरिया करेंगे शोहदा की कब्रों पर वो आएंगे ज़ियारत करेंगे और इस गिरिया के अंदर उनको इस बात की समझ में आ जाएगी कि खुदा के सामने किस तरह से झुकते हैं, कि किस तरह से शुक्र करते हैं, किस तरह से मुसीबत पे आओ बुका नहीं करते, किस तरह से खुदा को हर एक चीज जो आपके पास है वो आप कुर्बान कर देते हैं, खुदा से कुछ नहीं मांगते, खुदा की मोहब्बत का इजहार किस तरह से होता है, जुल्म के खिलाफ आवाज कैसे उठती है, दीन की कीमत क्या होती है, क्योंकि इस तरह से ये आजादार जो हमारी मुसीबतों पर रो रहे हैं वो मकाम हासिल कर लेंगे जब हुसैन वक्त आएगा। तो फिर हुसैन वक्त को रसूल की बेटियों के नंगे सर बाजार के अंदर कूफा और शाम के देखने नहीं पड़ेंगे। हुसैन वक्त को एक रसन के अंदर रसूल की बेटियों को पुराया हुआ नहीं देखना पड़ेगा। लिटिल डॉटर ऑफ इमाम हुसैन सकीना, that point where the door opened and in that pattern was something that had the curtain that had a cloth on top. Woh banda jab lekar aaya bibi ke par samne usne taal thal ko rakha hai to bibi ne kya kaha tha ki main bhookhi nahi hu, mujhe bhook nahi lagi. Us kapde ko jab uthaya hai to bibi ne apne baba ka kata hua sar dekha hai. ठीक है, ये यतीम बच्ची है जिसने सारी की सारी मुश्किलात को बर्दाश्त किया है, खुदा के साथ कोई कंप्लेन नहीं की, हर जगह पे जो है वो किसको भी ऐसा नहीं आप तारीफ में देख सकेंगे खुदा के साथ कंप्लेन कर। कि इस कटे हुए सर की उन रगों पर इमाम ने सलाम भेजा था ना, इमाम जमान सलाम करते हैं कि उन कटी हुई रगों पे आप बिलीव कर सकते हैं कि 3 साल की बच्ची को इस तरह का ट्रॉमा दिया जाए कि अपने कटे हुए बाप के सर को वो अपनी गोद में लेकर बैठे, अपने बाबा को बताए बाबा हम यतीम हो गए। मेरे मौला बीबी सकीना की उस आखिरी सांस का वास्ता मेरे मौला बीबी सकीना की उस आखिरी सांस का वास्ता तू हमें देख रहा है, तू हमें सुन रहा है। मेरे मौला हमारे इमाम में वक्त को जल्द से जल्द दिया, हमारे शुरुआत के दर्जात को बुलंद कर दे, हमारे गुनाहों को माफ़ कर दे, हमें अपना शुक्रगुजार बंदा बनने की तौफीक अता फरमा, हमारे उस सरा को रिहा कर दे, हमारे दरमियान में प्यार मोहब्बत इत्तेफाक डाल दे, हमारी इबादत को कबूल कर ले, हमें वो ताकत है जिस ताकत से हम अपनी जबान से जालिम के खिलाफ आवाज उठा सके। मेरे मौला तमाम चीज़ों का खौफ अब हमारे दिलों में से निकाल दे और हम सिर्फ और सिर्फ तेरे खौफ के अंदर जिंदगी गुजारे, तेरे रहमत के अंदर जिंदगी गुजारे, तेरी से उम्मीद लगाए, हम किसी के सामने अपने सर को न झुकाए, हम इमाम के गुलामों में से अंसारों में से शुमार किए जाए। माजरे हुसैन।